Hey guys, thanks for joining me for this 59th episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests for this episode include from The Voice, from Team Legend, Zania Alake. We'll also visit with from Team Nick, stolen by Team Nick, Keegan Farrell. From Team Blake, we'll visit with singer Emma Caroline. We'll also visit with NBC senior medical correspondent Dr. John Torres about his new book, Dr. Disaster's Guide to Surviving Everything. And we'll also visit with actor Barry Pepper. Got a new movie available in theaters and on digital on demand coming up. It's Trigger Point. Of course, if you would, please take the time to subscribe, drop a like, comment, leave some feedback, and of course, share with your friends. The Voice battle rounds continuing on, and we've got Zania Alake. I hope I got close on that one. I'm trying my best this morning. From Team Legend, and Zania, first off, thank you so much for your time.
Hi, thank you. It's actually Zania Alake.
I got as close as I could. Alake.
Alake. It's all good.
Now, Zania, tell us what it has been like so far, the road trip, the life of The Voice so far this season.
For one, indescribable. I feel like I have been on cloud nine since I was able to post that I am a contestant on the show. So I'm just still taking everything in. I'm still in awe.
Now, what has been the biggest thing that you've learned maybe about yourself and of your craft so far this season?
I've learned that rehearsal or vocal warm-up are key to great singing, breath support, and being on time, especially because you want to make sure you're always ready for someone or for whatever.
Picked by John Legend and being a part of that team, what has he maybe reinforced in you that maybe that you hadn't had a chance to really maybe even think of before?
Yeah, he's told me and kind of taught me to always make sure I'm telling a story with whatever song I sing. And that has gotten me through, I guess through these battle rounds. So just important to tell a story because I'm there to kind of help others kind of get through life or whatever situation they might be dealing with. I want them to feel what I'm thinking.
And with it having all of the COVID restrictions, all of the new regulations in place, has it allowed you maybe a chance to really focus on yourself instead of all of the outside influences and maybe distractions a little bit?
Yeah, you know, it's given me a time to meditate more, to actually relax more and really discover who I am as an individual and as a singer. So, yeah, it's been very helpful, though. I would definitely say that.
Now, what has been the hardest piece of advice for you to take so far?
I won't say hard, but I'm so used to singing, I guess, mellow, you know, slow songs. When we got the opportunity to sing emotion, it was a little more up-tempo than I'm used to singing. But the more and more and more that we rehearsed, I realized that I was capable of doing that. So that was, I won't say the toughest thing, but it was just a little bit of a challenge for me, but I got there.
So does that mean that you're going to expand that repertoire a little bit more?
Oh, yeah. I've always wanted to. I think that's very important as a singer, no matter what genre you are.
Now, for you, what was it like in the blind auditions to see the chairs turn? And was it easy or harder to continue singing once that happened?
I feel like a little bit of a relief when John turned. But growing up, I've always been told to just stay focused, keep singing through the song from beginning to end. Don't let anything distract you because they're still watching you. So it was the same throughout the whole thing, but internally, I was getting all the feels. I was so thankful that he turned for me.
Now, as you continue on this season, the battle rounds continuing obviously tonight and tomorrow. And what was that experience like, as opposed to like the blind audition tryouts?
That experience was different because I had to sing with someone else. When we were going through the process, one of the producers was explaining to all of us that this might be the most challenging thing that you guys ever have to do, because you have to share a space with someone else. And honestly, it wasn't challenging for me because of Darrell Anthony. Like, it was actually really, really cool. We relate so well. But it was just a growing experience for me to know that, you know, you got to be a little versatile with singing as a solo artist and singing with someone else.
And as you continue on this season, obviously social media is huge. And if folks want to be able to keep up with where they need to vote as those times come available as well, where's the best socials, Zania, for folks to keep up with you?
So they can follow me on everything Zania Alake. That's ZANIAALAKE. And I also have a fan page, and that's Zania Alake Music. You guys download that voice app just to get ready, because I know I'm going to go to the live.
That's right. Now, Zania, what has, as you continue on through the season, how has your goal setting changed as you continue on?
My goal setting has changed just to focus more on my craft and evolving, working on more of my music and getting my kids more involved in my music. So it's been a bit of a shift, and I am maturing more. I'm more confident in myself, and yeah, I'm way more confident than I used to be, so I'm thankful for that.
That's a good thing. And again, Zania Alake from Team Legend on The Voice. Keep up with her on social media, and Zania, continued success, and hopefully we can catch up again real soon.
Yeah, thank you, Cameron. Nice talking with you.
Now, we are a country that loves its cheese. Now, we can all at least agree on that, right? So this is a holiday we can really get behind. Today is National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day. Now, according to a survey in honor of the holiday, 87% of Americans say they like grilled cheese. Now, the top five cheeses that we want in our sandwiches are cheddar, American, Swiss, provolone, and pepper jack. And finally, grilled cheeses are our second favorite melted cheese food. Pizza came in first, grilled cheese and mac and cheese tied for second, and cheeseburgers came in fourth. Now, if you ask me, that's some incredibly stiff competition. Battle rounds continuing on The Voice tonight and tomorrow night, and we've got Team Blake. We've got Oklahoma represented with Team Blake. Keegan Farrell on the line with us. First off, Keegan, thanks so much for your time, brother.
Thank you for having me.
Now, tell us what it was like and why it was that Team Blake was such a great fit for you so far this season.
Well, I've been a fan of the show for a while now, and I think Blake he's just a funny guy, and he tends to win a lot, too. So I figured, you know, he was a good choice, and I've always enjoyed his personality and also the way that he's able to work with artists who aren't just country. You know, I'm not a country singer, and so... You know, some people ask me, you know, why'd you choose the country guy? But he's always done great at developing artists of all styles. So I think that also really attracted me to choose Blake.
And you talk about not being a country artist. Well, you live in Nashville. I mean, I understand Belmont University. And how has Belmont, and being a junior there, how has that prepared you for what you've been singing so far this season on The Voice?
Yeah, Belmont's been great. It's really well known for its music scene. So there's a ton of students there who are there for music production or songwriting or learning about the music business, which is what my major is. And so that's been super helpful for me. Just kind of, first of all, I think the environment is really similar to what being at The Voice is like, because it's just another place where you're around a ton of musicians, a ton of creative people. So just learning kind of how to navigate that and make friends and just, yeah, knowing that side of the industry has been really helpful. And then also just, it's been really awesome being around students who are creative. And I think that's something that really feeds me and helps push me. And I think The Voice has been something that's kind of like that. It's actually been one of the coolest environments I've been in my life. So yeah, Belmont has been great for preparing me for an atmosphere like The Voice.
And the collabs that I know several folks that have graduated that are still going to Belmont as well. And they talk about the collaboration and how has that helped you, obviously collaborating there on The Voice as well?
Yeah. I think collaboration is a lot tougher than people realize. You have to sometimes put aside your desire to be right on everything. You have to hear somebody else out. And a lot of times, you know, musicians can be pretty strong-headed, so a lot of times it's tough. And then you know, sometimes you're really surprised with, hey, that person thought of something, you know, I would have never thought of. And so that's been super helpful for me, learning how to work with people and not always get my own way. And the battle rounds obviously are an example of that, where you really have to, you know, you have to figure out how to work best with this person, because the battle round, you're not trying to destroy the other person and make them look bad. You know, what's best for you both is if the other person sounds incredible. You know, you want to make something together that's special. And that was something that's been really instrumental for me in the battle round, is just learning how to work with people. And Belmont has been a great, great part of that.
And obviously it's a competition, but I mean, how hard is it whenever you're going in a battle round against somebody that you've grown so close to over the last several weeks?
Yeah, that definitely. You really wish the other person to do well. Obviously you want to win. It's a competitive show and we're all competing. We all love to compete, but at the same time, you know, you've grown close to this person, and that's why I think it makes it a little easier, I guess, because you're happy to see somebody else move on if you were to lose. But that's what I said from the very beginning. The goal is for you both to move on. One of you to win, one of you to get stolen or saved. And that's kind of the mindset preparing, is if we do our best job and if we lift the other person up in the performance, then there's a good chance that we both move on. So that's the goal from the very beginning of battle rounds, is to make your partner look as good as you possibly can.
Now, Keegan, what about you has changed the most so far this season? Is it vocals? Is it maybe mentality that has changed so far this season?
I think that the biggest thing for me is when we're at The Voice, we have some of the best vocal coaches in the world, not just the ones that you see on TV, not just Blake and John Legend and Kelly Clarkson and Nick Jonas. Obviously, they're incredible, and they provide so much insight beyond just singing, but with the industry and just, they're just smart people, all of them, super great people to know and be mentored by. But I also mean just vocal coaches that work for the show that you don't see on TV. We get trained by them several times a week, and that's some of the best vocal instruction I've ever received in my life. So I think I grew a lot as a vocalist and learned a lot of things that I could do with my voice that I actually had no idea I could do. So I would say that's the biggest way I've changed, is just becoming a more technically sound vocalist and learning how to use the full capability of my own voice.
And how has your experience thus far on The Voice, has that made it harder for your songwriting, or has it maybe inspired the songwriting that you do on your normal basis?
Oh, no, it's been great. I think any sort of musical thing kind of just sparks creativity in general. So being around the other artists, being around the talent, being around the coaches, being around the whole Voice bubble, I think, has just made me super excited about music. I was never not excited about music, but I think it's just kind of added some extra excitement. Like, wow, this is actually going somewhere. This passion I dedicated my whole life to is actually starting to open up a lot of doors. And I think that in general has just made me even more excited to pursue music and pursue my career in this show and beyond the show, for sure.
That's awesome. Now, Keegan, as you continue on, obviously battle rounds tonight and tomorrow night, if folks want to keep up with social media and let them know whenever it's time to vote for you as well, what's the best place to keep up with you, Keegan?
Absolutely. My main way that I keep people updated is through Instagram, and you can find me on Keegan Farrell Music. My name's KeeganFerrell Music. So Keegan Farrell Music, that's where you can find most of my stuff. And I've kept that consistent through everything. So Facebook, YouTube. The only thing is Twitter is just K Farrell Music. But I would say Keegan Farrell Music is my main go-to for Instagram. And I also have a website, which is KeeganFerrellMusic.com. So it's pretty easy to find me. That's all you got to do is look it up. And the website has links to every single social media platform. So that might be a good landing spot for people if they're trying to connect with me as well. So, yeah.
Well, again, Keegan Farrell, Stolen by Team Nick. And Keegan, it's been great to visit with you this morning, man. I wish you continued success, and hopefully we can catch up again real soon, my friend.
Thank you, Cameron. I appreciate it.
Now, someone asked over 4,000 Americans to name their least favorite day of the week. And yeah, it's Monday in a landslide. Around 1 in 3 people say they don't have a least favorite day, but here are the results for the people who did vote. Number 1 was Monday, where 59% of people who have a least favorite day say it's Monday. Number 2, Tuesday, 13%. Number 3, Sunday, 9%. Number 4, Wednesday, 6%. Number 5, Friday, 5%. Number 6, Saturday, 5%. And number 7, Thursday, only 3% of the vote. Now, the same survey also flipped the question around and asked people to name their favorite day of the week. Saturday, number 1, followed by Friday and Sunday. Just under 6% said Monday is their favorite day. The season of The Voice continues on. Battle rounds continuing tonight and tomorrow night. And from Team Blake, we've got Emma Caroline on the line with us. And first off, Emma, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Emma, tell us all, I'm sure that you've had to answer this about 1,000 times over, but the blind audition, what was that like for you, my friend?
It was amazing, and I was just thankful to have the opportunity. It is a lot of pressure because you spend so much time working on this one song, and you only have, you know, a certain amount of time to kind of show yourself and prove yourself, and you just want it so bad, so I was definitely nervous, but I was excited, and when I did get a chair turn, I felt like I was watching my dream like happen right in front of me, so it was an amazing feeling.
And for you, living in Nashville and around Music City, I mean, is that what inspired you to go out and try out the first time around?
Yeah, I mean, I just think The Voice is so unique because it offers a learning opportunity, and I know that I will never stop, you know, learning and getting better. And so I think The Voice is awesome because I get to learn under such amazing people who know the music industry so well. So, you know, the pandemic was hitting and there was no shows going on and stuff. So this is the perfect timing for me to kind of go and try this out.
Now, what has been the best piece of advice that you've had so far this season?
I loved when Blake told me that I will never be someone's backup singer and I need to start acting like it because I have always struggled with being self-conscious and just not having confidence in myself. And for Blake Shelton to say that to me and to really believe in me, I mean, that's got to put a little confidence or a little, you know, belief in myself. So that was awesome, and it just means so much. I really took that to heart.
Now, what do you think is the biggest misconception folks have of Blake Shelton with you being mentored by him now?
Oh, I don't know. He's so great. I mean, I love that he's so goofy and so normal that, you know, when you go into practice or something with him, he makes you feel comfortable. So I was like, how am I ever going to, like, in front of just Blake, like in practice or something. But he makes you feel so comfortable because he's so normal and real, and he really wants us to succeed. He really wants to help us and to see us, you know, succeed in our dream.
Now, for you, you talked about having rough times and dealing with self issues. For you, being on The Voice, has that helped you maybe solidify that passion and also that belief in yourself?
Yeah, it's really just, you know, proven to me that this is what I'm supposed to do. And it's easy, you know, to be in Nashville and to compare yourself and be like, you know, am I supposed to be doing this? But this show has really just made me want to do music even more and really pushed me to be even more passionate about it, and just has affirmed for me that, like, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to be doing, and my hard work will pay off.
Now, with all of the extra precautions, do you find that inspires you because you're having to rely more on self, or does it make it a little bit more difficult as the rehearsals and all that go on?
It's definitely difficult, but the show can feel isolating at times, but I really got good at, like, being alone and stuff like that. And we still got such an amazing experience, you know, practicing and stuff. We still got time with Blake, a lot of time, and, you know, we still had the best experience.
Now, what has been the biggest thing that you've had to kind of change things up as a result? Has it been the technology that's really helped you keep sane this last year?
Yeah, I still do a bunch of Zoom writes and FaceTime writes, you know, so still being able to do music that way has been incredible because, you know, if we didn't have that, then I would just be writing by myself, which is great. And I do do that, but I'm able to still, you know, connect with musicians around Nashville and not in Nashville and still do what we love.
Now, we talked about the battle rounds continuing on. What is the battle round like firsthand?
I had a great experience. I was nervous because, like I said, it's easy for me to compare myself. So, of course, when I got my battle partner, I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm literally against, like, Cam is so good. He is so good. And I was like, all right, I'm toast. But Cam and I just went into that first practice and together just sat down and got to know each other and really formed a friendship so that we could truly have fun on stage. And you have to spend a lot of time with your battle partner. So it was really important to us to get to know each other. And we just built this great friendship. And it never felt like a competition between us because we truly wanted each other to succeed and to see both of us move on. That was our goal, was to put on such a good performance that, you know, he couldn't decide. And, I mean, he did choose Cam, but he saved me. So I guess it worked.
That's right. And, again, Emma, if folks want to keep up with everything you've got going social media-wise and also let them know when it is time to vote, what's the best social platform to keep up with everything?
I post on Instagram and Facebook a lot. My Instagram is Emma Caroline Music, and I have a fan page on Facebook that's Emma Caroline Music. So they can follow me along there. I'll be posting about voting and stuff like that. So.
All right. Well, Emma Caroline, saved by Team Blake on The Voice. It's been great to visit with you this morning. Continued success, and hopefully we'll catch up again real soon.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Now, it's about time someone paid me to eat the processed meat I've been eating for free all these years. Like an idiot, right? Well, a website called Bonus Finder is looking to pay someone to become an MLB food tester. If they pick you, you'll go to a few Major League Baseball parks to watch games, eat hot dogs, and report on how they are. And they'll pay you $500, plus they'll cover your travel and food. If you're interested, you'll need to apply on their website before May 2nd. NBC senior medical correspondent Dr. John Torres on the line with us. And first off, Dr. John Torres, thank you so much for your time this morning.
You bet, Cameron. I'm glad to be here.
Now, Dr. Torres, Dr. Disaster, Dr. Disaster's Guide to Surviving Everything. And man alive, Dr. John, not a better time to release this than what we've all been through this last 12 months, right?
And I'm telling you, we started working on this a few years ago, knowing that this is information I think people needed to know, but it really came into light this last year, because I think most of us have gotten the understanding that, hey, we're going to have to survive situations like this, and it goes well beyond needing enough toilet paper. There's a lot of other things you have to keep in mind.
And how much is mentality a part of the success of surviving anything that you go through?
You know, that is thing number one, is keeping that mindset that I can survive this. And one of the things, you know, going through survival training in the military, one of the very first things they taught us, and they kept hammering into us the whole time we were there, is having that will to survive, because they gave us example after example of people who had the will to survive and did everything wrong and still made it, and other people who were experts in the field and just gave up. And so you can't just give up. You have to have that will to survive. And the one thing they always taught us is have something to come back for. If it's your family, if it's your kids, if it's, you know, whatever, something at work, just something to come back for, a goal, because that'll keep you driving forward.
And Dr. Torres, how do you prepare yourself for what we've gone through this last 12 months? I mean, I'm not sure if other folks saw it coming, but as an American public, it seemed like we were just awestruck by this and just thrown for a loop and still trying to find our way, right?
And Cameron, it's not just the public, the government, everybody got taken on the back foot with this one. We didn't expect it to happen this quickly and this globally, but it did. And it will in the future. Things like this will happen that will catch us off guard. And the main thing, like we talked about, the mentality is one thing. But just have those certain things set up and the things you need to survive, at least short term. And one thing I tell people that the pandemic taught us is, up until now, we have been, especially here in the United States, we have always had the luxury of, if something happens, if you're involved in a hurricane, if a tornado hits Oklahoma City, there's other agencies, you know, before it even stops, other agencies are pouring in from across the country. That didn't happen this time because everybody was having problems. They were having their own issues, and so they couldn't really help each other out. So you have to be prepared to help yourself out. And that means having the things on hand. Number one, again, that mindset, having a decent supply of food that, you know, can last you at least a couple of weeks. You know, of course, making sure you have enough toilet paper. We found out how crucial that was. And then just preparing you and your family, especially if you can't connect with each other. How are you going to make that connection happen?
And what are maybe some of the stories that really stick out to you of survivors of this last year? Maybe some stories of folks that went above and beyond, maybe obviously being thrown for a loop anyway.
The biggest stories are the ones of the people that survived in situations where they didn't quite think they would, or most people would look at them and say they probably wouldn't make it through that, but they did. And again, it's having that will to survive, but also, you know, looking at the families that have stayed together, especially in light of the fact that, you know, the kids are home, the family's home, everybody's home, they're all taking care of each other, and they're trying to take care of their communities as well. And you see those happening across the country, so it's hard to pinpoint any one specific one, but you look at different areas, whether it's rural areas or urban areas, they're all doing the same things to survive, and they're all learning as they go, helping each other out. And that's always been one of the things that I've noticed in situations like this, that people's humanity comes out. And we're seeing that here throughout this year, people's humanity coming out and them helping each other. Especially if you go to those more rural communities, you see that happening as well, where people are doing what they can to try and get together, try to keep those connections going, even though they can't physically see each other, doing the things they need to do to keep not just physically going, but mentally going. And that survival, we talked about having the will to survive. That's the mental attitude to survive. You need a physical attitude as well. And that means, you know, doing those things to keep you healthy throughout the year. And granted, this is longer than most survival situations because this has been well over a year. But at the same time, this could be happening in the future.
And Dr. John, along those lines as well, what's the biggest misconception whenever you talk about survival techniques? Maybe, obviously, everybody kind of pictures the folks out in, New Mexico that are out there in their own little communes. But is that the biggest misconception, you would say?
I think the biggest misconception is that people think technology will save them in every situation. And we've all been lost because of, you know, whatever mapping system we use, Google Maps or, you know, whatever it is. We've all been lost because of that. And that's just an example of how technology might not be there. Cell phones have batteries. They're going to run out of batteries. And so learning the things I talk about in my book, texting instead of calling, it'll save your battery and it'll get through when the cell networks are inundated. And just those things that we've relied on every day, the technology, they're going to fail us at some point. So we need to learn how to get beyond that. And that's part of the preparation too, is having things set up. So if technology does fail, you don't have to use your phone to communicate. You might not be able to get a hold of your kids if they're in school and there's something happening because the cell phone system's not working. So how are you going to meet? Where are you going to meet if something happens? You know, just have those plans in place and just realize again that technology might not be there.
And Dr. Torres, what has maybe been the eye-opener here in this last year that we've all been doing our own kind of separate thing? What is maybe, have you learned about yourself over this last year?
You know, I think the biggest thing I learned about myself is just how well that my wife can put up with me, I think is number one. It's probably the biggest thing because we have been together, you know, 24/7 throughout this whole situation and being on NBC News. You know, a lot of work has gone into every day here of getting the message across to people of the things they need to do to stay safe, stay healthy, and survive the situation. And so, you know, keeping on top of the information, getting information out, my wife helping me, thank goodness she's been here this whole year. And that's probably the biggest thing I've learned is just, you know, how we can survive together. And that's the important part, and not just survive separately.
That's right. And again, the book, Dr. Disaster's Guide to Surviving Everything, on sale tomorrow. And Dr. Torres, always want to make sure and let folks know where they can find not only more information about the book, but everything you've got going on social media wise as well.
And you can go to @DrJohnTorres, @DrJohnTorres. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm on you know, essentially all the platforms, Instagram. And so you can go there. And the book is being sold, or books are normally sold, so just about anywhere.
There you go. Well, Dr. John Torres, it has been a privilege to visit with you this morning. Looking forward to spending some more time with the book, and hopefully we can catch up again real soon.
I hope so, Cameron. You have a good day.
You might need to dig through your closet to find those JNCO jeans, my fellow skater boys, because they are cool again. The CEO of Levi's did an interview last week where he said all sales signs point to this being the beginning of a, quote, new denim cycle. Skinny jeans are out after dominating for about a decade. Looser, wider legs are in for both men and women. He says the pandemic really pushed the trend over the edge because now people are, quote, looking for a more comfortable, more relaxing denim. So are skinny jeans totally done? Quote, I don't think they're ever going to go away completely, but clearly right now we are seeing a very strong demand for these looser fits. Like I mentioned to him before, he made me cry as the Intimidator a few years back. Barry Pepper on the line with us. And Barry, always good to visit with you, sir.
Yeah, thank you kindly for having me. That's great that you enjoyed three. That was a wild experience getting to drive 180 miles an hour around Lowe's Motor Speedway.
That's cool. Now, you got a new film that is opening in theaters on the 16th, available on demand the 23rd, Trigger Point. And Barry, tell us a little bit, if folks haven't seen the previews or the trailers, about the new film.
Yeah, it's a revenge thriller, action-driven, but it breathes, allows for a story to unfold and keeps you guessing. And it's about my character's name is Nicholas Shaw. He's a retired CIA special operator who's living off the grid in solitude when we find him. He's the kind of guy who would have terrorized the terrorist. You know, he led an invisible team of CIA assassins in his former life, and we learn about his past through these nightmares and flashbacks that he's having when we meet him. And this traumatic event that he's been through has kind of left him with these just shock memories and fragments of what transpired. But what he does know is that he was accused of having given up the names of his special operative team who have now been assassinated. And so he's disappeared. He slipped off the grid and started this new life in the wilderness. And he's tracked down by his former CIA handler, played by Colm Feore, who convinces him to join him in hunting down the assassin and clearing his name. And that's sort of where we jump into the film.
Now, for you, the last year, obviously, things have had to slow down a little bit, but as a new movie out in theaters and on demand, I mean, how do you prepare this time around as opposed to all the times before, Barry?
Yeah, it's really different, you know, not being able to do anything in person. And I was in lockdown here in Canada when this opportunity to work with Brad on Trigger Point came along. And, I wasn't traveling anyway, so it was kind of ideal for me. I was actually here in Vancouver shooting a film called Solitary with Nate Parker and David Oyelowo, and so I just carried on with Trigger Point. I went from Vancouver to Northern Ontario up on Lake Huron, and it was kind of what the doctor ordered last year, October, November, you know, in quarantine and lockdown, you just kind of go and stir crazy. It was great for me. It was just what the doctor ordered to get out and do an action-driven picture.
Now, how much different is the process now? You talked about going out and working during COVID as well. What's the set like? How much different is the feel of the set?
The set's like a dental convention. You know, everybody's in masks and plexi face shields. So they've got the mask on plus a plexi face shield, and everything is just hermetically done. Like you're tested, you're COVID tested, I think twice a week. So, you know, the swabs up your nose, the entire cast and crew. So, you know, a couple hundred people. So it's very expensive. It adds maybe 10% to your budget. So if you're a $10 million low budget film, there's $1 million just for COVID testing. And everything is, you know, sanitized and it just really elongates the process of everything, and so it's really challenging for a lot of these smaller films and to set that kind of money aside. So those are quarantining actors that come in, you know, out of the nation, or if I've got to travel somewhere, I've got to quarantine for a week before I start production, and then 2 weeks after I'm in quarantine when I come home. So not to make more of it than it is, but just to give you a glimpse of what it's like on a film set.
Now, Barry, is it easier in all of the distractions to maybe keep yourself in the character? Do you find it easier to stay in character, or does it make it a little bit more difficult for you?
Yeah, it's interesting with the mask. I mean, as actors, we live in masks, you know. And so sometimes for me it's easier because I can just laser focus and stay in my lane and not have to, you know, sort of distract myself too much with conversations and things that are outside of the realm of the story. And that's nice. That's kind of nice that you can hyper focus like that. But I think, yeah, like all of us, we're kind of missing, you know, intimate conversations and interactions nowadays. So that's, like I say, that's why it was kind of nice to be off on a film set, having some fun and doing something creative with a bunch of people, even though it was challenging with the COVID protocols. It was good to get out of the house, if you know what I mean.
Now, Barry, in the time apart, was there anything specifically you were working on craft-wise?
Yeah, I tinker with old motorcycles, and I'm actually doing some renovations right now. I just finished laying hardwood in my new office and built myself a bit of a bigger gym, things like that. I tend to like to work with my hands, and so those are the sort of things that I occupy myself, especially when you can't really bring tradespeople into your home. And I don't mind getting down and doing it myself. So I've been, yeah, building walls and plastering and hardwood and painting, and it's been kind of fun.
So looking for the next gig to be a home renovation one, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Isn't that, that's how Harrison Ford started, right?
So, yeah, something like
Jack
that.
Jack of all trades.
Well, again, the movie Trigger Point in theaters this Friday, April 16th, on demand on the 23rd. And Barry, always want to make sure and let our listeners know where to keep up with everything about the, not only about the film, but everything you've got going on as well.
Well, I'm not on social media, but you can find Trigger Point probably triggerpoint.com or Trigger Point Movie. It'll come up, and yeah, you'll be able to find everything you need to know. But yeah, select theaters Friday, April 16th, and then video on demand in U.S. in April 23rd, I believe.
All right. Well, Barry, it is always great to visit with you. Looking forward to the new film, and hopefully we can catch up again real soon.
Right on. Thanks so much. Nice to chat with you.
Well, thanks again for joining me for this 59th episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, question, or anything else you'd like to know, you can hit me up on the website at gqwithcam.com, or you can find me on all the socials, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at gqwithcam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, click on the shop tab at gqwithcam.com/shop. We've got all kinds of things from hats to shirts to pullovers, you name it. Check it out at gqwithcam.com/shop. If you have a special guest idea, just email me gqwithcam@gmail.com. Again, thanks to our good friend Brandon Allen for coming up with the music for Good Questions. We're going to let him play us out, and hope you guys have a great rest of your Monday.